And now, the scores, the highlights, the clinches, and the clutch plays. Todd Van Wyk presents Halftime, your review and preview of the week in sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Halftime. The eight survivors in the NBA playoffs are eyeing semifinal berths as the second round rolls into high gear. Jeff Biggs will take a coast-to-coast look at all four of the best-of-seven series. There's just four teams left in the NHL playoffs, and they're all looking to break across the blue line towards their goal, the Stanley Cup. Chris Kaufman will climb over the boards with a report on the semifinals. The Pittsburgh Pirates are bucking the odds and winning big in the National League. Jeff Biggs takes a look at the Pittsburgh Power Company. And on the national front, we'll tell you about growing pains in the Chinese Pro Baseball League and an international soccer tournament you're sure to get a kick out of. There are just eight teams left in the NBA playoffs. Jeff Biggs checks in with a second round rundown.
Rounding out round one in dramatic fashion, both number four seeds were beaten on their home courts in the deciding fifth game. Fifth seeded Phoenix ousted Utah 104-102 on a last second jumper by Kevin Johnson, while the New York Knicks ended a 26-game Boston Garden losing streak by beating the Celtics 121-114, a game which obviously prompted the firing of Celtic coach Jimmy Rogers. Continuing in the East, the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan were able to hold off the Philadelphia 76ers 96-85 in Game 1 of their series at Chicago Stadium. Charles Barkley and company just can't seem to play with any intensity on the road, while the Bulls are hoping to raise their game a notch for the next round. After a nice rest, the defending champion Detroit Pistons routed the New York Knicks 112-77. Led by the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year, Dennis Rodman, the Bad Boys are starting to buckle down now, hoping to take the emotion out of the Knicks early. Patrick Ewing will need to lead the way once again. Out west, despite playing without center Kevin Duckworth, the Portland Trailblazers have jumped out to a 2-0 lead over San Antonio. The Spurs were hoping Rookie of the Year David Robinson could take advantage in the middle. However, Clyde the Glide has led an explosive Trailblazer attack that's been much too quick for the young and hungry Spurs. And finally, in what some might call a big upset, the Phoenix Suns stole Game 1 from the Los Angeles Lakers at the Forum 104-102. So far in the postseason, the Lakers have just not gotten on track, while the Suns got a great performance from center Mark West. This series could go down to the wire. Reporting from Los Angeles, this is Jeff Biggs for Halftime.
At this point in the National Hockey League playoffs, a few teams remaining have to wonder whether this is really the year. And the others, well, they just have to wonder. Here's Chris Kaufman from the Blue Line.
The Boston Bruins look all set to advance to the playoff finals. They're getting great seasons out of the Flyer pair of Dave Poulin and Brian Propp. The team is plowing towards the cup with the confident steps of maturity and faith. Ray Bourque is enjoying a well-deserved run at the Stanley Cup. Some Boston fans have likened number 77 to another great defenseman of earlier years, Bobby Orr. But Bourque doesn't have the all-star team that Orr had the last time Boston won it in 1972. What Ray Bourque and the Bruins have is character, the kind that can win consistently. But at the other end of the ice could be the Chicago Blackhawks under controversial coach Mike Keenan. Keenan coached the Philadelphia Flyers to the Stanley Cup Finals twice in 4 years. He did it through hard-nosed, strong-arm tactics and was dumped from Philadelphia under a sigh of relief from the players. It hasn't been a bowl of roses for the Blackhawks either. They're currently playing off the Edmonton Oilers, the greatest team of the 80s, and looking strong. But the Keenan boot camp has had its toll on nerves. Veteran 500 goal scorer Michel Goulet was benched in the playoff opener against Minnesota. He's also had a few words with Chicago legend Dennis Savard. But Keenan won't take no stuff, and the Blackhawks are looking at the strong possibility of moving into the Lord Stanley's finals. So just what does it take to get there? Mike Milbury of the Boston Bruins would say pacing and confidence. Mike Keenan might say a big stick. That's exactly what players are complaining about in Calgary, where coach Terry Crisp has been told to shut up and pack. After losing quickly to LA in the first round of this year and complaints about his foul language bursts behind the bench, the Flames say they've had enough. Forget about his record with the Flames of 144 wins, 63 losses, and 33 ties. Forget about last year's Stanley Cup and two President's Trophies. This guy's out of here. Rumor has it that he's heading for Philadelphia, where he won two Stanley Cup rings in the Broad Street Bully days. Philadelphia. Sound familiar? From the Blue Line, I'm Chris Kaufman.
The Pittsburgh Pirates have turned some heads on their climb to the top of the National League East. Jeff Biggs has more on the Buccos.
Although it's early, I don't think many so-called baseball experts thought the Pittsburgh Pirates would be atop the National League East. Just ask Bobby Bonilla.
Nobody predicted us, but I think we all know that if healthy, we can contend. And I think by everybody staying healthy, that we've shown some good signs. There's been no injuries, which is a great feeling, you know, because when we're healthy, some positive and wonderful things can happen.
And as teammate Barry Bonds points out, this year's club has something unique from years past.
The determination to play, the desire to want to win, just the work ethics a lot, not so much just coming to the ballpark as an everyday thing. Guys are out here working, and they're doing a good job.
Manager Jim Leland agrees.
Got a good ball club. We got a well-balanced ball club. We're probably deeper than we've been ever since I've been here. Like I said, I think 88 was more the realistic ball club that we have. We got a good ball club, and we're pretty deep. And, if we play well enough, we'll be in the hunt.
And getting good pitching always helps.
I think we've pitched a little bit better than I thought we would. I think everybody, the consistency has been there for the pitching staff throughout. So probably pitched a little bit better than I thought we would.
But as Bonilla says, there's still a lot of time for the rest of the division.
A lot of baseball left. You ain't kidding. Every team in our division is tough, and anybody's capable of winning it. Whoever's going to pitch well and play the best defense is probably going to wind up doing well.
All right. In the meantime, though, outfielder Andy Van Slyke has a few words of caution.
Well, obviously, we're pretty happy the way we play, but Tennis aren't won in April, and we realize that, and we've had success in the past and haven't been able to sustain it over a whole season, so maybe we can do that this year. Come see me in September, and maybe we'll talk about wrapping up the pennant then.
Okay, we'll do that. Also in the East, the Philadelphia Phillies are an even bigger surprise, but so far their offense has been able to carry a very shaky pitching staff. With the division still up for grabs, the Expos and Cubs need to take advantage of their current homestands, while the Mets need to have a team meeting. The St. Louis Cardinals are hoping that trading Tom Brunansky to the Red Sox for relief ace Lee Smith will keep them in contention. Out west, the big question is, are the Reds for real, as they are now playing teams with decent records? Despite the tragic loss of pitcher Oral Hershiser, the Dodgers find themselves right in the race. Playing the East for a while could really help out. After a dismal start, the Astros have climbed back in, while the Padres seem to float at 500. The Giants' home record is humiliating, and the Braves are still the Braves. Reporting from Los Angeles, this is Jeff Biggs for Halftime.
Hooliganism made the final week in European soccer read more like a police report than a line score. Johnny Gould reports from London.
The last day of the football season throughout Europe was marred by hooliganism. The achievements of Ajax and FC Bruges in winning the Dutch and Belgian titles were overshadowed by riots. In England, fans caused havoc in the sedate south coast town of Bournemouth, and there were serious disturbances in West Germany. The worst trouble came when 500 fans rioted after Bruges clinched the Belgian championship with a 3-0 win at home to St. Truiden. Hooligans dismantled crosses from a nearby cemetery and hurled them at policemen. There was a three-hour battle between rival supporters after Dusseldorf beat Mannheim 1-0 away from home, condemning the home team to relegation from the West German Bundesliga. Dutch police arrested 24 Ajax fans during more rioting in Nijmegen. And on the field, Ajax threw 1-1 before a crowd of 25,000, finishing a point ahead of PSV Eindhoven, champions for the last 4 years. PSV's decline is bad news for Dutch football. A one-year ban has been imposed on Ajax by UEFA, after Ajax fans bombarded the Austria-Vienna goalkeeper with iron bars last September. Unless an appeal is successful, Holland will not have a representative in the European Cup next season. In Spain, Real Madrid ended their season with a 5-2 defeat of Real Oviedo. Hugo Sanchez scored a hat-trick to equal the Spanish league record of 38 goals set by Telmo Zara of Atletico Bilbao 39 years ago. In England, hooliganism again dominated the weekend headlines as Leeds fans riot in Bournemouth, as their side sealed the second division championship and relegated the South Coast side to Division 3. Porto clinched their 11th Portuguese title with a 1-0 win over Setúbal. Johnny Gould, London.
The cry in the Chinese Pro Baseball League these days is hold that tiger. The first-place Mercury Tigers have won 10 straight games and are threatening to run away with the title in the first half of the season. Mercury's hitting in the top five spots in the order is unmatched, and their pitching depth leaves strong arms in the bullpen that would start for other teams. The seeming lack of parity is creating problems in the league. First, the struggling President team was granted permission to play all four of their foreign players in one game, breaking the league standard that allows for only three imports to appear in one game. Then, last Sunday, the Weichuan Dragons used all four of their imports in their game against Mercury. League officials protested, but to no avail. The league has no written regulations for the teams to follow, as up to this point, the league has been run by consensus among the four team owners. The controversy has brought many writers in the sports media to call on the league to draft a set of rules and regulations for the teams to follow. Certainly part of the pressure to play all four of the American players stems from injuries. Teams are limited to just 25 players with no farm team to call on. The league has received some encouraging news of late. Nine Taiwanese players, now playing in Japan's club league, are looking to return home and join the pro league. The Lions look set to sign two of them for the second half of this season. Also, the league has announced that they will allow each team to add two foreign players to their rosters, and it's likely that these players will arrive from the American minor leagues in time for the second half of this season. Still, even with the growing pains, the league is a smash at the box office, with record crowds turning out each weekend with baseball fever. Long-suffering soccer fans, take heart. The China Cup World Invitational Football Tournament kicks off this Friday night at the brand new Zhongshan Soccer Stadium in Taipei. The 10-day tournament features an international field with teams from Denmark, Paraguay, Costa Rica, South Korea, Malaysia, and the ROC national team. Costa Rica is sending its second team national side that's training toward the 92 Olympics, while the South Korean and Malaysian teams are made up of players who appeared in Seoul Olympics in 1988. Tickets are 300, 100, and 50 NT and can be bought at the stadium box office. Tickets go on sale 2 hours before kickoff. Zhongshan Stadium is located at the intersection of Zhongshan North Road and Mingzhou West Road. The final match on May 20th is part of the national festivities to mark the presidential inauguration. Well, this is Eric Olander's last week at ICRT on OJT before he goes on to USC for a PhD. Eric has been the producer for Halftime, so with a special tribute to Eric, here's a word from Mike Woodward, the guy who's in charge of the ICRT Sports Sauna and Exercise Room. Mike?
On behalf of the ICRT Sports Department, we want to thank Eric Olander, who's been a great member of the ICRT team and producer of Halftime. Eric's a real team player, which is fortunate, since due to his limited intelligence, Eric is unable to think alone. Yes, Eric always knows the score. He just never knows who's playing. Just kidding, Eric. You're the best. And since Eric is only 19 years old, the staff here at ICRT want to wish him good luck on his first date.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks to you, Eric. And join us again next week on Halftime.
Listen every Wednesday evening at 6:30 for Halftime, your review and preview of the weekend sports. Halftime with Todd Van Wyk is brought to you exclusively on ICRT.